Let's start with hope, shall we? On a rainforest mountaintop, where I had just seen woolly monkeys swinging through the trees, I asked Wake Forest biologist Miles Silman if we were simply putting too much greenhouse gas into the air to slow or halt the inevitable march of climate change.
No. And even if we were, right, the only chance you have, if you're a pilot, you fly it into the ground, because you just might pull it out.
Silman is a pilot of sorts for the cause of preserving tropical forests. He clings to such dark forms of hope in the face of climate change not experienced since the last ice age. He first started studying tropical forests in Peru more than 20 years ago as a PhD student at Duke. 10 years ago, he and other top tropical biologists from the United Kingdom, the United States, and Peru co-founded the Andes Biodiversity and Ecosystem Research Group. Above the clouds, on a 13,000-foot peak in Manu National Park, the forest below looks lush and healthy. Silman knows the image is deceiving.
We're looking out over this vast area. We can see into Bolivia. We can see almost into Brazil. And so we're looking over a good chunk of the Amazon basin. And the vista that we have is one of the most amazing in the world. So, you know, it's just a person looking out. It's hard to say that they're under duress when we start to measure them, when we start to look at their physiology, when we start to look at their rates of living and dying. We can see that they're responding.
In the steep mountainside study field of the Andes Group, a research plot is roped off about every 800 feet downslope. Inside each plot, every tree is marked, measured, and tracked, and has been for the last 10 years. Because these trees live in very narrow temperature ranges, and because each plot is filled with an almost entirely different set of tree species, the Andes scientists are seeing something pretty incredible. The trees are migrating upslope, not literally, but when they reproduce. It's not a stretch to say that there's a race right now in the rainforest.
If we just take it at a blanket statement, say the trees are migrating upslope, that you could say is good news.
Ken Feely is a tropical biologist at Florida International University in Miami. His research established for the first time that these tropical species are migrating in response to global warming.
They're responding to climate change in a way that they will keep at equilibrium with climate, and they will help prevent them from extinction or decreasing population sizes. The problem is twofold. One is that they are not migrating fast enough, and the second is that they're going to run out of places to migrate to.
Trees appear to be moving upslope as much as 12 feet a year, but to keep pace with rising temperatures, they need to be moving at least 20 feet. Most of them won't be able to do that, and if they can't, Feely predicts that we could be looking at massive tree and plant extinctions in just the next 50 to 75 years. The Andes Group held its 10th scientific meeting in August. About 80 international scientists gathered in Pisac, Peru, not too far from Machu Picchu. Yadvinder Mali is a leading tropical biologist from Oxford University. He explained that climate change in the tropics affects all of us, perhaps even more so than the melting ice caps at the poles. That's because tropical forests are the functional lungs of the Earth.
So small changes in the tropics can have huge ramifications for the entire Earth system. So changes in rainfall in the Amazon feed forward to changes in rainfall in Europe or in North America or in Central Asia. What happens in the tropics determines what happens to the Earth's biodiversity. We are on a tropical planet. Yeah. We just don't realize it because many of us live in the cooler latitudes.
In Pisac, biologists like Silman, Feely, and Mali were gripped by a unifying concern. If tropical forests in South America and Asia die off or shrink even more, we will lose the services they provide, such as pulling greenhouse gases from the atmosphere. That could mean the ice caps will melt faster, sea levels will rise higher, and extreme weather, like hurricanes and droughts, will come faster and more furiously. So, is the pilot steering this plane into the ground? Can he pull it up in time? Scientists say it's going to take some big ideas, like international carbon offsets. That's where wealthy countries that do a lot of polluting will pony up and pay poor countries like Peru to conserve their tropical forests. Another scientist at the PSAC meeting was Sasan Sachi with the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory at Caltech. His satellite surveys are helping tropical countries estimate the value of carbon that's stored in their forests. As the PSAC meeting closed, Sachi traveled with scientists from the Andes Group to present their findings to Peruvian environmental officials for the very first time.
Tomorrow we're going to be in Lima talking to the policymakers, and I know in their mind one thing that they're very much interested is how much carbon they have, how this carbon is changing through deforestation, through climate change and all that stuff. How can we use it as a resource? And you have so many billion tons of carbon stored in your forests. Suddenly for a country of Peru, that becomes an asset like, you know, Saudi Arabia's oil money.
As big ideas go, environmentalists believe that carbon offsets can be a game changer in slowing the rate of global warming. But it's not catching on very quickly. Ecuador announced that it would just open up 4,000 square miles of Amazon jungle to oil drilling. It asked for $3.6 billion to protect the land, but after 6 years, virtually no developed countries agreed to invest. Making Ecuador's decision easier, perhaps, was China, which indicated it wants the Amazonian oil. In Lima, Peruvian environmental officials listen closely as the Andes group biologists explain their findings in Spanish. Those officials told me later that that information could lead to new policies. They know they control a vital global asset. But like Ecuador, Peru is a poor country, and the demands for ranching, mining, and drilling can be hard to resist. Still, Carlos Loret de Molo, a top advisor to Peru's Minister of the Environment, believes change must come.
I think Peru has to move in that way. We will not be able to continue doing extractive industries the way they were done in the 20th century. We have to do it in a different way, in a much better way, and we have to keep our ecosystems alive.
For Peru, it won't be easy. But the biologists with the Andes Group believe their research should be seen as a warning flare, one that prompts policymakers to look beyond the melting ice caps in order to take action to protect tropical forests, not just in the Amazon basin, but around the world. For North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC, I'm Justin Catanoso.